the shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When my shadow, not as I am gone, I'll fly away. Like a prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then
title of this series that I've been doing is God Wants Your Attention. Praise God. Did you hear the thunder outside?
Yes.
Yes. Amazing. And who did that?
God did.
God did. God wants our attention. So I'm going to read the scripture where I ended last week from Matthew 16, starting verses 1 to 3. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Lord, tonight, Lord, I thank you for each one here, and God, I pray that their ears are open to receive that which you'd say to them tonight. Pray for good soil in this place, soil that would bear fruit and last for eternity. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd give me clarity of mind, and Lord, that I would say what you'd have me say, and left unsaid the things that I should not say. And I thank you now. In your precious name I pray, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen, and you may be seated. Glory. You know, we all start our days out, it seems, where we check the weather. And I know that some have been praying for rain, and they're saying, but on Saturday, we're having our tailgate party, Lord. And I know Don Schultz is all praying because he wants to go on a motorcycle ride. You know, I don't know how God can handle this. I really don't. What? Which one does he listen to?
Neither. He said what he wants.
Do you think God has favorites? Come on, work with me a little bit here. But as we've already heard tonight, we are so thankful for the rain. Praise God for the rain. I think you need to give the Lord a hand offering. Are you excited about that? Can you do that? Yesterday, Charles Schultz has his regular barbecue day on Thursdays. And he makes a good barbecue. And I went out to join the guys, and we concluded, we all went around, and the men all prayed for rain. Because there are some farmers in the group, and they said if we don't get rain within a week or so, there wasn't going to be any crop. And why is it when God answers, we're amazed? You know what I'm saying? You said, really, Lord? You gave us rain. And we're just so thankful for that. Showers of blessing, praise God. Showers of blessing. So tonight we're going to look closer at God's word, how he uses his creation to get our attention. And to me, thunder and lightning is always one way of God getting God's attention or getting our attention. I remember being raised on the farm. My dad always said, do not stand in the barnyard with the barn with the door open, because when lightning strikes, the draft through the barn, you could get hit. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I didn't stand there. And I'm still here today, praise God. But for anyone that's ever been near anything and had lightning go through you or touch you, it's a moving experience. If you have a hair left on your head, that's a good sign, because lightning is something that can go right through your body just like that. But God uses his creation to get our attention. So we're going to quickly go through scripture tonight. Stay with me. Tonight I'm preaching New King James. Last week I used the New Living Translation, so to keep us all balanced, I'm going to use the New King James tonight. So I'm going to flip to 1 Kings 17, verses 1 to 7, which reads as follows. And you're all very familiar with this. You've heard this sermon probably hundreds of times. But to me, it really gives you an example of how God can get our attention. 1 Kings 17, starting verse 1 to verse 7. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be any dew nor rain these years except at my word. And if you jump into James 5:17, it said, and Elijah was a man just like you and I, and he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed again and it rained. So in there's really two things. There's power in prayer. God listens, but ultimately, who gave the rain? Who held the rain back? God did. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Okay, get a little visual here for a minute. I'm sure everyone here knows quite a bit about ravens. You know, ravens is one of the very, very few birds that buries food like a dog. Have you ever seen a raven out in the field and he digs a hole and he buries it? He has one of the most powerful beaks of any of the birds. In fact, if you travel up north, they'll take a big the lid on a trash can and they can just take it off just like that. And the going joke in northern Alberta is, you know it's really cold when you see one raven pulling another one to get him started. But ravens are very, very intelligent bird. And if ravens like you, A lot of times they'll bring something silver or shiny and lay it by your door or your window. They're one of the most intelligent birds. So the ravens are mentioned here in the Bible because God used them to feed Elijah. The ravens brought bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, we're in a drought here. There's a shortage of food. Everyone is suffering. I always kind of wonder, where did these ravens get this food from? I wonder if it wasn't from the king's table, feeding the prophet that Ahab was mad at. The ravens fed him, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain in the land. If you remember anything from this message tonight, when God guides us, he provides. If you can get that down inside of you. For any of those of us who have been in the oil patch and we lived in Lloydminster, we went through 3 boom and busts. One day everybody's working and the next day, nothing. And it's times like that you say, God, we did everything right. I know we wasted a lot, but most things we did right. And all of a sudden, guys are handing the keys in to their bank managers and getting rid of their houses. Nothing. But I have learned, whatever the situation, God will provide. And when you read this text of how God looked after this prophet, he even used his creation, the ravens. So I don't remember ever being fed by any ravens. But I do know there was times that God's hand was in the provision that we did receive. And I believe every one of you that are here tonight, at some time in your life, God provided in an unexpected way. He did. And we need to bring that to memory when that does happen. I'm going to take us now to Kings 18, and quickly, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter on this, but remember now that I'm going to read this first verse, and then the rest of it I'm going to just share very lightly. Chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. But before that happened, the land had become very adulterous. They were worshiping idols. The Israelites had turned their back on God, and God was dealing with them. So I'm going to pick up here in verse 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But the people answered not a word. They didn't say nothing. Nothing. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. But God corrected Elijah later on. Elijah said, no, there's 7,000 that have not bent a knee to Baal. You're not the only one. And there's always a remnant of believers. There's always a remnant. There's some days you feel like, I'm the only one in the workplace. This is it. But that isn't the truth. There's always somebody else there. Therefore, let them give us 2 bulls and let them choose 1 bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I'll prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. It's like putting your barbecue beside somebody else's barbecue and saying, we're just going to stand here and see whose steaks get done. You say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, isn't that what Elijah's doing here? Get your barbecue, get your meat on, and I'll do mine here, and we're going to see what happens. That's really putting God to the test. And what does happen? Now, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. Call on the name of your God, put no fire under it. And they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us, for there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped around the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's gone on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping. And must be awakened. He's mocking them now. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was no voice, no barbecue, nothing. Nana. Nothing happened. Then Elijah said to all the people, come nearer to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seasel of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. He said, fill 4 water pots with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And then he did it a third time, till the water ran off the altar and filled the trench. And then he prayed. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and all the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Can you imagine this even happening? It's kind of, in a sense, it's even hard to believe, but it's in God's word, and it did happen. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and all the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. In verse 39, now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Can we get that down inside of us? Who is your God? Who is your God? Is it your own abilities? Or the successes you've had? Who is your God? I can say, for me and my house will serve the Lord. That is something you need to declare. Barb, I say that to you tonight, for that you would say, for me and my house will serve the Lord. Pray that over your homes, that me and my house will serve the Lord. And the enemy of our souls has no place in our homes. He has not. Be bold, be strong, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Can I hear a weak amen here? Help me. God is for you. He's not against you. And it says in James, he said, and Elijah was a man just like you and me, and he prayed. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and he prayed again. He was a man just like you and I. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I want to quickly move on here. I want to jump to the New Testament quickly. And I want to look at when they were in the boat. So I get my finger on it here. Jesus' disciples are in the boat. You're all familiar with this story, of course. And we're going to look up at Matthew 8, starting with verse 23. And here again, God is using His creation. I'm trying to get this across. God will use His creation to get our attention. Now, that can come in many forms, like we looked at last week, earthquakes, volcanoes, fires, hailstones. But He will use His creation sometimes to get our attention. And are we listening? Starting verse 23. Now when He got into a boat, His disciples followed Him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. And Jesus was bailing water. I'm checking to see who's awake here, if you're with me. But He was asleep. Come on, Jesus. We've got a bad situation here. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. The day we were supposed to go out, a storm come up. It's a very small body of water. And when the winds come down, instant storm. I mean waves on that little body of water. We couldn't go out. And I don't like water at the best of times. And that just instant like that, they were in a storm. The boat was covered, and suddenly a great tempest came up. So the boat was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him and said, Lord, save us. We're perishing. When you're in the midst of a storm in your life and you say, Jesus, where are you? Do you care about me? Do you care about my finances? Do you know that I'm dying of cancer? Do you care about me? I'm here to tell you tonight. But no matter what you go through and whatever that storm looks like, Jesus is in the boat with you. And don't ever, ever forget it. A month ago, I had a growth on my leg and went to a dermatologist, and they told me that they have to cut it off. Melanoma. Not my leg. No, let's clarify. Whoa, no. I still got two legs. We have to remove the melanoma. And then we're going to remove a lymph node too. Whoa, we're really going on here now. So I'm just in the middle of it all. I just had a peace. You know, God, I've had a good run. I've had a good life. And if this is the way You want me to go, I'm good. So went in. The doctor said, we got one problem. You got pretty skinny legs. I'm not sure how much we can cut away here. It'd be better if you had fatter legs, because we got to go down a good half an inch to get it all. So went in. They give you the anesthetic. Yeah, I had the best sleep ever. Oh. I just wanted to stay there. came out and it was a good chunk of my leg gone. And they removed the lymph node. And the lymph node came back clean. Praise God. But you know what? We can get ourselves all worked up and say, God, what about this? What about? No. If you believe in God and you trust in Him, then leave it there. I'll walk by faith, not by sight. I'll walk by faith, not by sight. My God is well able because He is in the boat with me. Isn't that good? Verse 26. But He said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I don't know what it is about myself and water. I've shared this before. Maybe being raised in Saskatchewan, I didn't see a whole lot of water. I took swimming lessons one year, but that didn't go well. I tread water with 1 foot on the bottom. That works. I passed the course. I'm going to close with this. God's faithfulness. We had been ministering over in Germany, and we came down through France to Calais, which is the ferry crossing over to the cliffs of Dover in England. And we came, the evening was dark, and we boarded our van onto the ferry. Now, those ferries are, what, 5 stories high? They're just massive. And they said there's a bit of a storm going on in the channel, but we'll be okay. I don't like that we'll be okay stuff, but we're on. So I go up to the upper deck, and that whole upper deck is all restaurant with big glass all across the front. So you're looking out across the ferry in the direction it's going, and we start out of port. And that massive ferry is going like this. And like this, and I'm going, this is not good. This is not good. So we're sitting up in the restaurant there, Annette and I and our daughter, and we're sitting there, and bam! This massive wave hits the front of that window, the glass all across the front, and the ship just shuddered. And everyone's laughing, and the big wave come up. About 5-6 stories high. Everybody settles down, and here comes another one. Bam! Blew out all the glass, and we're sitting there, and we're seeing people just going by us. With glass cut all over, blood all over, and I'm saying, this is a bad movie. I want out of this theater. We're on the boat. Where do we go? I hung onto a net. She swims. Not. What a mess. People screaming, flying by us with water and glass and blood. And they said, they come on and on, just everyone settle down. Settle down. We're in trouble here. They said, well, we're going to close this up so the water can't keep coming in. We're going to sit between the waves for a while. I'm going, I'm dying in the English Channel. Lord, I'm coming home. Here I am. So they get all their engineers up there, and their engineers learned to keep that night trying to board this thing up. And then they move us down 2 decks, and they're patching everybody up. And they're really concerned about lawsuits, right? But my point in this whole story is that Annette and I and our daughter Leanne, it's just, I don't know, we had a peace. As we sat down that lower deck and everyone else was bandaged up, and people sick.
They're all throwing up. The place was green. Seasickness. It was brutal. But Annette was so faithful, she brought gravel. We were fine. But in the eye of the storm, where do you find yourself? That's the question. When God allows storms to come into our lives like he did with his disciples, who do you put your trust in? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. May you have that calm in your life, no matter what's going on. For some reason, I was humming this song this week. It's called I Need Thee Every Hour. I'm just going to read a couple of verses of it. I need thee every hour, most gracious God, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will and thy rich promises and me fulfill. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord every hour. Lord, today I pray for this precious group of people. And Lord, I feel so inadequate of sharing your word with them, the truth of your word. And I pray that some way, somehow, by your spirit, Lord, they've received from you tonight. And that they understand that you use your creation to get our attention. But they might say, I need thee every hour. And Lord, I commit this special group of people into your hands. In your precious name I pray. Amen. But let's receive the blessing now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and thank you for coming tonight.
May God give you gentle and an even trail to ride, pure water, greener pastures, and a good friend by your side. May you always have protection from the northern winds that blow, and may you find God's blessing wherever you may go. May God give you gentle voices and an even trail to ride, pure water, greener pastures, and a good friend by your side. May you always have protection And may you find God's blessing where